This morning's message is going to be directly related to our scripture reading this morning. But before I begin, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that the words of this message that I'm about to give are from the Holy Spirit and not my own. May this message be centered completely on God's word and on God's truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this morning's scripture reading, taken from the book of Isaiah from the Old Testament, God speaks of a kind of a revelation. And I think I've mentioned before that Isaiah is my favorite prophet. In this passage, God tells Isaiah that he's going to do a new thing. And from this new thing, God promises that he will make a way in the wilderness. And the whole focus of the message this morning is on the wilderness. Let me read this passage again to refresh our memories in the event that your memory, like mine, is short. Well, it's good, but it's short. I have to leave my driver's license out on this bedstand so in the morning I can remember who I am sometimes. But Isaiah, in chapter 43, in verses 18 and 19, again, says this: "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Okay, so what's this new thing that God's telling Isaiah that he's going to do? And what's this thing about making a way in the wilderness? What wilderness? And for who is God making a way through it? Now, we might look at the events recorded in the book of Exodus to start with some answers, as God's chosen people have been freed from their captivity in Egypt, and they find themselves wandering through a desert wilderness. And why? Well, we recall that because of their lack of faith in God, who brought about their freedom from bondage and slavery through his servant Moses. The Bible mentions the wilderness many times. Typically, is a desert wilderness because the part of the world in which the Old Testament takes place was, as it remains today, a dry and arid desert environment. And referring specifically to this event in Exodus chapter 14, verse 3, it says, "For Pharaoh may say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in." And following the Exodus in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 7, we read, "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." But the prophet Isaiah here in chapter 43 is foretelling of a even more remarkable feat performed by God for his people than is recorded in Exodus. Here, God will now deliver the Israelites from their captivity in Babylon. And God will see to it that the mighty Babylon is crushed, as it was by the Persians. And as the Israelites find themselves once again released from captivity by the Persian king Cyrus, God will make a pathway through a parched desert wilderness as they journey back to their homeland in Palestine from what is known as Mesopotamia. And along the way, God causes the desert to produce miraculous rivers of water, presumably to satisfy their thirst. Because as we know, and I don't think we've been in this situation, but people that are traveling through a desert become thirsty. And we know there's no storage shops in the desert, so there's no relief in that respect. But let's think for a minute about the time or times in our lives when we might also have been in the wilderness, thirsty or not. Now, I'm not talking about being deep in a forest somewhere, or maybe just in our backyard if we let the grass and the weeds and shrubs and brush get out of hand, which sometimes happens, or at least it seems that way. No, I'm talking about a different kind of wilderness. It's a situation or situations that we found ourselves in or find ourselves in during our own life journey when we either are or were bewildered. The first wilderness that we may have encountered, if we think back about it, might very well be our first day of school. Remember that? For me, that was a long time ago. Long time ago. But I remember it. It was scary. I was carted off to a big strange building, or for some of us, maybe force marched, where we encountered a bunch of strange kids. Because we weren't strange, but all the other kids were strange. And an encounter with probably a strange woman who, just like our mother, okay, insisted on telling us all what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. And that was a wilderness for sure. And then, of course, over the next 12 years, we all experienced other little excursions into lesser wildernesses, didn't we? Things like girlfriends and boyfriends and calculus, locker combinations, and this thing called cafeteria food containing what I remember as being called all-purpose meat. You really didn't know what it was, but if you put enough ketchup on it, it was okay. And then when our academic educations were completed, the next big wilderness was perhaps the first day at our first job, which, as I think about that, was not altogether different from my first day of school. I was surrounded by a group of, well, I presumed that they were adults, but that came into question later on. Also in a strange surroundings, being told what to do, how to do it, and when by a supervisor, who often we found to be totally incompetent, or became someone we didn't like. The same as with maybe some of our past school teachers. And then, over the course of the ensuing years, we might have found ourselves and several wildernesses, some that were work-related, but often we were led there by family and friend issues. And believe it or not, this is going to be hard for most of us to believe, but even bad personal decisions that didn't go as we had hoped or as we had planned. So, here we sit this morning, And the question is this: are some of us still in a wilderness? Are we comfortable in our surroundings, satisfied with who we are, or at least who we think we are? And most importantly, comfortable in our relationship with Jesus? The book of Exodus tells us that the people of Israel were made to wander about in the wilderness because they lacked faith in God to protect them from the dangers that 10 of the 12 scouts, which were sent out ahead to survey the promised land, what they reported when they returned. You may recall from those passages that only 2 of the 12 scouts, one being who's referred to Oshua, but is actually Joshua, and the other Caleb, proclaimed to the people of Israel, as it says in Numbers, chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now those other 10 scouts reported, among other things, the presence of giants occupying that land. And those giants, they said, made the people of Israel look like grasshoppers in size compared to these giants. They were scared. They didn't want to do it. They said, no, we're not going in there. But here's the thing. Despite God's power, which on many occasions he had openly revealed to the children of Israel, they saw what he had done for them over and over and over again. All amazing things that they personally witnessed with their own eyes. Still, they were afraid, not yet trusting God to protect them. You see, apparently, they needed more proof. They wanted to be shown more miraculous act of God in order to muster up enough faith and God's power to go forward. And so they did indeed rebel against the Lord, and they refused to enter into the promised land. Now, maybe that's the same state some of us find ourselves in here even this morning to some extent. Because, you know, let me ask you, who sitting here right now can honestly, and I want to emphasize the word honestly, claim to have absolutely no fears, no apprehensions about anything, trusting completely in God, our Creator, for everything concerning our own personal welfare or that of our loved ones? If we're going to be totally honest with ourselves, and we're often not too good at that, myself included, the answer, I think, is not many of us. And to the extent that in the past, we were most likely even less trusting in God, we've all been and remain in a wilderness of some kind, whether we realize it or not. Now, another question arises. Just how deep are we in this wilderness, and how difficult will it be to get back to where we want to be, or, better stated, where God wants us to be? So let's go back to this morning's scripture reading from Isaiah, which begins with, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Think about how it is that we often have a tendency or even insist on remembering our old sins and our old transgressions, our old ways from the past, which because of God's grace, He has forgotten. We want to remember them, but God's forgotten them. And perhaps the biggest stumbling block for those trying to get out of the wilderness is trying to remember how they got there. Now, how often have we heard about people who've become lost in the woods, traveling in circles, attempting to remember their pathway into the forest in order to find the same way back out, always ending up back where they started, which is still lost. So it is with some Christians having accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, knowing of His work on the cross, having paid the penalty for our sins, yet keep going back in their minds to past sin. We ask, well, why would we want to do that? It's because Satan wants us to remember. He's constantly trying to undermine our faith. He wants us to question the validity of what Jesus did for all of us on Calvary and start thinking, it's no use. Satan wants us to tell ourselves, who am I fooling? I'm still lost in my sins. I own them. I'm a lost cause. Besides, how could one man, Jesus, bear the punishment of not just my sin, but the sins of all mankind? And it's at this point where we begin walking in circles in our own personal wildernesses. All it's returning back to where we began, a place of doubt. Because of our lack of complete faith and trust in Jesus. When this happens, we need to keep these words of the Apostle Paul in mind. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now let's let that sink in. Old things are passed away. This includes our past sins. They're gone. They're forgotten. And it's almost as if Paul were paraphrasing our scripture reading from this morning, which said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. See, Paul is telling us to forget our past sins. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, which means that when we became a Christian, when we proclaimed our heart's sincere belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became in Christ. That is, our old self died at that moment of belief, and therefore, old things were passed away. We became a new person. We became immediately indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Our former self was gone. Behold, all things are become new. We became a new person with a new nature. Our old man, who we were before, passed from us, and we became dead to our past sins. Now, Paul covers this again in Romans in chapter 6. And we could spend the whole morning in Romans 6 alone. And perhaps we probably should at some point in time. But as it pertains to this morning's topic, I'm going to read only verses 5 through 9, which are as follows. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Now, hopefully you'll find these passages helpful in coming to a better understanding of God's plan for our salvation, which is not by performing petty ritual works, as the Pharisees believed, not by doing good deeds, but by grace only, which is accomplished entirely by God, who manifested himself in the blood and flesh of God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ. And having a total understanding of this is the only way out of any wilderness we might find ourselves in. We are not to remember our old ways or our past sins. We are instead to rely only on our faith and trust in God to guide us out of our wildernesses. When God, by his grace, forgives our sin and restores our fellowship with him, because that's what happens, our fellowship with him is restored. He doesn't want us to remember our past failures. Doesn't want us to remember what he forgot. Instead, he wants us to witness for him in the present and to share his promises to us for the future with others. And that's part of the Great Commission. Why should we remember what God has forgotten through his mercy and grace? Why should we want to do that? Because if we do that, how can we be witnesses for God's love right now when we're still wandering about in a past wilderness because we're still not sure of God's forgiveness? And one of the great lines of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, is this: I once was lost, but now I'm found. If we're going to remember anything, we should remember always God's infinite love for each one of us, that he would come down from his heavenly domain to take upon himself the flesh and blood of the man called Jesus and put aside for a while some of his awesome power in order to humble himself as a lowly servant for mankind, and ultimately allowing himself to be physically tortured and nailed to a cross and take upon himself the punishment that we all deserve, so that, as we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And also, John 3:16, which we should all be able to memorize from heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the things that I hope to convey or inspire you to do with this message is this, and that is to, upon waking up every morning, think of that new morning as if it were Resurrection Sunday. And remember what our Creator did for us, so that we don't have to remember our past sin and live in it. Because when we do that, that keeps us from ever getting completely out of the wilderness. See, Jesus paid the cost. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is our way out of any and all wilderness we might put ourselves in. With our faith, our trust, and belief in Jesus, we are forever found and can never really be lost anymore. God will not leave us to fend for ourselves, struggling to find our own way, because going our own way is what gets us lost to begin with. Allow God to lead you. He promises to be faithful. We have His Word and the Holy Spirit to give us guidance. God is always with us, providing wisdom. Now hear this. Providing wisdom if we listen, and providing direction if we will follow. He goes on ahead of us. He walks with us, guarding our way, showing a way out of the wilderness, or keeping us from entering into one. But here's the great challenge. You know, we all face many temptations from those who tell us, follow me, or listen to what I see, what I say. We encounter that every day when we turn on the TV, when we turn on the radio, if we walk about, there's always somebody has, I have a new way of looking at this, a new revelation. No, stay away. Some of these, in fact, many of these are the false teachers that Jesus warned us about. We must come about feeling the need and have the desire to equip ourselves with the ability to be able to recognize those who provide wrong direction and would lead us into a wilderness. We need to know, without any question, who and what we are to follow. And our Bible gives us some warnings about being led into the wilderness. If we consider Mark in chapter 13 and verse 22, it says, "For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." We think about that. It says, even the elect. Now, that's referring to those who are really, 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 you know, deep in knowledge of the Bible, more so than any of us. That's the elect. If those can be fooled, think about how easy it's going to be for us to be tricked. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 tells us, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." So you see, as a result of these false teachers and prophets, using the high technology and social media platforms that are available in our present culture, these are tools that and generations past, Satan didn't have as at his disposal, but he does now, and he's making great use of them. But 2 Timothy in chapter 4, in verses 3 and 4, warns us this: "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." So here we are. We're living in a time where never before was it so easy for Satan and his minions to influence so many throughout the world. When Timothy says in that scripture that I just read, "After their own lust shall heap themselves teachers," what's he saying? Well, we see evidence of this in some other churches, don't we? We You see, pastors affirming behaviors which God clearly calls abominations. And I don't need to say any more. Those sitting in the pews of those churches are in a wilderness and either don't know it or they chose to remain in that wilderness. Yes, we're instructed to forget our past transgressions and place our faith and trust only in God. But, we must also take on some personal responsibility also. Finding our way out of a wilderness or keeping from entering into one requires that we do our part. Earlier in this message, I said God is always with us, providing wisdom. Here it is again. If we listen and providing directions, if we will follow. If we find ourselves in a wilderness, we must listen to God, trusting in His word and willing to follow Him. It seems so simple. It really does, but it's so hard. Now, a couple of weeks ago, actually, I think it was just maybe last week, but we sang a hymn. It's called Trust and Obey. And the title of the hymn pretty much sums it all up. Trust and obey. And there's no other way. Amen. And now our closing prayer. Dear Father, as we take our worship, praise, and prayer from this place and to our daily lives in the coming days, may our lives be sustained through your loving grace. Father, may your presence keep us from stumbling as we strive to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. May your word direct our feet, keeping us from entering into the wilderness of unbelief and false teaching. Lord, we ask your blessing to keep and protect us this day and all of our days to come. And we ask this in the holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.